Jeremiah chapter number 38. I'll give you a minute because it's half of you don't even know it's in the Bible. And come on now, let's just be honest. Hey, I tell this story often because I like to remember it, but I was in Bible college and there was 130 preachers, and Brother C.T. Townsend's daddy got up and he said, "I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Hezekiah." And there is no book of Hezekiah, by the way, all right? And so anyhow, all these preachers, 130 preachers in there looking all through the Bible for Hezekiah. And what was the funniest part was C.T. was sitting up there on the front row and he was frantically looking through his Bible for Hezekiah. And his daddy was just up there just dying laughing at all of us. And anyhow, but what a blessing. That's what I think of every time you ask somebody. How many of you get upset when somebody says, "Turn to the book of Amos"? Like, really, dude, you got a page number for that? Can you just put it up on the screen for us? We're in the book of Jeremiah, all right? And you can find that in the Old Testament. And for those of you that are in the New Testament, and flip in the middle of your Bible. Amen. Is everybody all right? Ain't it good to be in church this morning? I wanted to sing "Thank God I Am Free." That's always one of them songs I like to sing around July the 4th. I wish we had, but I'd forgotten, didn't mention it to Jake. But I am sure thankful that I'm free, and I'm thankful for this country and what it stands for, and I'm thankful for the liberty and the freedom that we have through that. And what a blessing it is to be able to come into church and be able to practice freely and with liberty what we believe, and worship God, who is all-powerful, in a nation that's under God. Somebody say amen. And I praise the Lord for that. All right, we'll read a few verses this morning, and out of Jeremiah chapter number 38. And if you're there, I still hear pages being turned. Jeremiah chapter number 38, it's on page 934. In my Bible, all right? And so anyhow, I don't know what it is in yours, okay? All right, so, excuse me, I'm battling a little chest cold or whatever, but anyhow, we'll start reading in verse number 3. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, this city shall surely be given into the hand of the king of Babylon's army, which shall take it. Therefore the princes said unto the king, We beseech thee, let this man be put to death." Now, let me give you a little bit of background what's going on here. Jeremiah is preaching. How many of y'all know Jeremiah is a preacher? All right, he's a prophet. And he's preaching, and he's been thrown in jail back in chapter number 37 for his preaching. And he's brought out, and he said, "Hey, do you have a word from the Lord?" The king said. He said, "Yeah, I got a word from him." He said, "He's going to judge you." All right? And so this is the battle that's raging and going on right here in Jeremiah chapter number 38. In the first verse that I read, Jeremiah quotes, "Thus saith the Lord." And in verse number 4, we already see the princes are wanting to imprison Jeremiah, and they're wanting to put him to death. And so we see this in verse number 4. "And the princes came unto the king, and they said, We beseech thee, let this man be put to death, for thus he weakened the hands of the men of war that remain in this city, and the hands of all the people, in speaking such words unto them. For this man seeketh not the welfare of this people, but the hurt." And boy, if God's men ain't been accused of this, I don't know what is, all right? Just because the preacher doesn't say what you want him to say. I need somebody to help me right here. Just because the preacher doesn't say what you want him to say does not mean the preacher is wrong. All right, we got to get out of that mentality that I don't agree with the preacher, so he's wrong. If the preacher is preaching, "Thus saith the Lord," then you're wrong. Is everybody all right? That means you're wrong. If he's saying, "Thus saith the Lord," and it's not agreeing with your lifestyle or your opinion, then your opinion is wrong and your lifestyle is wrong. What they were saying was saying, "Hey, look, Jeremiah's preaching something. We're going to war here. We want somebody that's going to stand up and say, hey, we're going to have the victory. Hey, everything's yours that you want. You can just go out there." They wanted a Joe Osteen sermon. Somebody say amen. "Everybody, we're going to win this thing. We're going to have Corvettes and airplanes when we come out of here." And Jeremiah went in there and he said, "Thus saith the Lord, Babylon's going to come and take this place. God done had enough. Oh, so we're going to shut up the Lord. Let's put Jeremiah in prison and we can shut him up." Come on now, don't get quiet on me right here.
There's a lot of people that think that they can just move on to another church and thus saith the Lord goes away. Hey, I done got somebody. I done cornered somebody up right here. It's like a coon dog. It's like a coon dog. He is on the trail. Somebody say amen right there. I'm circling the tree right now, and I'm fixing to give out a locate, and then it's going to be on. It's going to be a boo, and then it's do I have a coon hunter in here anywhere? Praise God. All right. There's so many people. They want to shut up God, and they try to do it by move. We're going to move to another church. That preacher didn't preach what we liked, so we're going to move to another. That doesn't change, thus saith the Lord. You can go to this church, you can go to that. Well, they believe differently than that. That doesn't change, thus saith the Lord. Somebody help me right here. Just because some doctrine, just because somebody's preaching something that you like to hear doesn't mean it's thus saith the Lord. Just because our entire religion's been built out of it does not mean that it's thus saith the Lord. So they tried to shut Jeremiah up. They said he's trying to do us hurt. He's trying to do it. He's trying to hurt us. He's trying. He don't care about the welfare of the people. And never a truer story or a more false statement was made. If anything, Jeremiah, we know him as the weeping prophet. He cared for these people more than anybody. And he wept over the judgment that God was bringing to him. I'd just like to point out this whole thing and this whole battle and war against preachers has been going on for a long time, all right? The Bible goes on, verse number 5, and it says, "Then Zedekiah the king said, Behold, he is in your hand, for the king is not he that can do anything against you." This was a coward. That's what it was. Here, Zedekiah the king, he said, hey, the princes come to him and said, we got to throw him, well, let's put him to death. Zedekiah said, hey, man, do whatever you want to with him. It ain't like I can do anything about it. Can I say this? The inactivity of people. Man, I'm feeling a little preachy this morning. But the inactivity of people just shows how much of a coward you are when you let somebody stand there and talk about your preacher. Amen. Is everybody all right? It ain't no noble cause when you sit there and let somebody run down your church, run down your preacher, run down your Sunday school teacher, run down these things. I just thought I'd throw that in there. It had nothing to do with a sermon, all right? Verse number 6, and the Bible says this, "Then took they Jeremiah and cast him into the dungeon of Michal, the son of Hamelech. And that was, that was in the court of the prison. And they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water but mire. So Jeremiah sunk in the mire." We see here they would cut out these cisterns for water. And of course, these are bad areas anyhow. If you've ever seen any water that's stagnant or stale, this is you know exactly how nasty it can get. And here the Bible tells us that there was not any water in there. So everything that was in the bottom of this thing was just mud. So anyhow, this preacher, because he was preaching, thus saith the Lord, and they didn't like it, they lowered him down by cords into this mire, and the Bible says that he sunk into it. And so what a wonderful place for a preacher to be is in the middle of a pit, in the middle of a dungeon, if you will, sunk in the mire. Now, we see in verse number 7, the Bible tells us it starts changing the story here. Now, when Abedmelech, the Ethiopian, one of the eunuchs which was in the king's house, heard that they had put Jeremiah in the dungeon, the king, then sitting in the gate of Benjamin, Abedmelech went forth out of the king's house and spake to the king, saying, "My lord, the king, these men have done evil in all that they have done to Jeremiah the prophet, whom they have cast into the dungeon, and he is like to die for hunger in the place where he is, for there is no more bread in the city." Then the king commanded Abedmelech, the Ethiopian, saying, "Take from thence 30 men with thee, and take up Jeremiah the prophet out of the dungeon before he die." So Abedmelech took the men with him, and went into the house of the king under the treasury, and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags, and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Abedmelech, the Ethiopian, said unto Jeremiah, "Put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords." And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. We're going to stop our reading right there. I was looking at this passage of scripture, and I preached from this one time before, I believe. I preached from this maybe years ago, but I preached a similar sermon to this as far as the title goes, and I'm going to call it Rags of Redemption, all right? And we're going to take a look at this this morning out of this scripture in Jeremiah chapter number 38. You've already got a kind of an understanding and a grasp of what's going on. Jeremiah was preaching, and Jeremiah, because of what he was preaching and because of thus saith the Lord, was thrown into a pit. And I want us, if we can, to relate to Jeremiah this morning. Now, I realize that there's not a whole bunch of preachers in here. I do realize that there are some, but I do realize that there's not a whole bunch of preachers, so I want to remove that aspect of Jeremiah's life, and I want us to look at Jeremiah as somebody that's a human being. Somebody say amen right there. Somebody that's been hurt by somebody else. Somebody that has been punished by somebody else for something that he did not do, maybe necessarily, but somebody that has been hurt, somebody that has been brought down. And I want to take this, and I want to look at this from a perspective of redemption. I want us to take and look at this story and not see Jeremiah in the bottom of a pit, not see a preacher thrown and cast down in the bottom of a pit, but I want to see a sinner. Somebody say amen right here. And I want us to look at this in such a light that we see redemption out of this and hopefully get a blessing from it this morning, all right? If you'll bear with me this morning, we'll do just that. We want to start off this morning with, number one, I want to show you something here. I want to show you the trouble of the sunken. I want to say this, the trouble of the sunken. Every one of us at some point in our life has been cast into some kind of spiritual pit. Somebody help me right here. I don't care how long you've been in the faith. I don't care how long you've been saved. There's been a time in your life where somebody has come against you. There's been a time in your life, maybe it was Satan that come against you. Maybe it was a friend that come against you. Maybe it was a leader in the church that come against you. Maybe it was a member of the church that come against you. But in some way, some form, some fashion, you have found yourself in a pit or in a dungeon. Jeremiah found himself in a dungeon for nothing more than preaching the word of God, for nothing more than living a righteous life, for nothing more than being the Christian that he was designed and that he was supposed to be, and he found himself in a pit. Can I say this morning that many of us has found ourselves in that same pit? Many of us has gone into the job site trying to be a Christian, trying to live right, trying to do right, trying to raise our family right, only to have somebody come against us, only to have somebody go to talking about us, only to have somebody put us in a pit. We see several pits all of us has faced. How many of you has ever been in a pit of discouragement? Somebody help me right here. Praise God. I say this prayer. I would say that this pit affects us all, and it affects us whether it's good or bad. Sometimes, how many of you know that sometimes you get in a pit of discouragement and you don't get put there because somebody was mean to you? Sometimes you just can't even explain why you're in a pit of discouragement. I need somebody to help me this morning. Boy, I have been in a pit of discouragement in my life more times than I care to admit, more times than I care to confess this morning. I have found myself in a pit of discouragement. Well, I'll tell you what, the trouble with the sunken is that, man, we can find ourselves in some hard and difficult places. We see the pit of discouragement. We see the pit of distress. How many of you have ever been in a pit of distress? I say, preacher, you're going to have to elaborate a little bit. Here's some good elaboration right here. Man, you get that paycheck on Friday, somebody say amen. You get to the house on Friday and you got $350 worth of paycheck. You got $350 worth of paycheck because $200 of it done went to Uncle Sam. Somebody say amen right there. All right, so you get all this and you're sitting down with your bills, and them bills, they total a lot more than $350. Oh, I need some help. Don't get quiet on me right here. Say, preacher, I got to go get another job. I got to do this. We've been in a pit of distress. Boy, I tell you what, me and Michelle, many of y'all may not know this, and I want to give a plug, a shout out. I don't care what it is. I don't know what it is, but Joe Welch, Brother Joe Welch, has helped us tremendously. We had our AC unit go out on our house that we own up in South Carolina. What a blessing. Somebody say amen right there. Call everybody up there. They want $5,000 to go over there and fix it. And Brother Joe was just a blessing to us, and we do appreciate it. And I thank the Lord for him, but I was in distress. Y'all hear me? Me and Michelle was walking around on pins and needles as to how much we were going to spend and how much we were going to have to spend on this thing. And boy, I've been in that place. It does not matter how much. Come on now, I need somebody to help me. It doesn't matter how much money you make. When something breaks and you got to fix it, come on. All the plans you had, all the money you had saved up and all this other thing, one incident and it's gone. And all of a sudden you back to walking by faith. Somebody say amen. I'm living by faith in Jesus above. We all get real godly then, man. When the money's run out, hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. Kids are walking around living by faith in ramen noodles and love. Yeah. We've all been there, the pit of distress. We get into these times and it doesn't have to be, listen to me, it doesn't have to be something that you messed up on for you to be out of money. I've learned that in life. Come on now, I need somebody to help me right there. You ever had an AC unit tear up, a vehicle tear up, a house? Y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. Hey, I was there. We were there fixing that AC unit, and that woman that's renting my house, she kept coming up to me, and she said, this is broken, this is, and I'm like, look, you can find somewhere else to live. Matter of fact, you can live in a tent out in the backyard. Everybody, all right. We're going to find everything. Lord, help. A pit of distress. We all find ourselves in those. You know, can I say this? There's a bigger pit of distress for those that aren't saved. I praise the Lord that I can sing those songs living by faith. But can I tell you something? When I was a lost man, I can remember times when my bank account was empty. Amen. Is everybody all right? I didn't get broke when I got saved. Somebody say amen. I was broke before I was. And for somebody... Listen to me, somebody that don't know the Lord, somebody that don't have a relationship with the Lord, somebody that don't have faith in the Lord, are you talking about a difficult time? Boy, the trouble with the sunken, we see the pit of discouragement. Jeremiah was thrown in a dungeon here. We see the pit of distress. We see the pit of destruction. We see the pit of destruction. What is that one, preacher? It's when sin gets a hold of us so much that it controls every aspect of our life. I think that this happens, of course we know, for a lost man, for somebody that isn't saved, sin is controlling their life. We all remember, somebody raise your hand if you remember being a lost man or a lost woman. And how sin had a grip on you and how sin had a hold on you. There's many people that don't even realize that they're in a pit of destruction when they're in those sins. The sad thing is the world's convinced us that everybody does it, so it's okay. Oh, we're preaching now. Everybody does it, so it's all right, preacher. Everybody drinks, so it's all right, preacher. Everybody does this, so it's all right, preacher. Everybody does, you know, is everybody all right? But it's not. It's just like Jeremiah preaching, thus saith the Lord. Now, I ain't going to get on your problems and your drinking and all that. Y'all, is everybody all right? Y'all, let's move away from that. We talked about that this morning in Sunday school. I ain't going to deal with that. That's something, if you ain't convicted of it, you just go right ahead. You do whatever you feel like you need to do. But don't shake your finger in God's face and tell him that it's not a sin. That's like sleeping with somebody else's wife and trying to justify it. Everybody all right? That's like sleeping with somebody else's wife and saying that you're doing it because your wife, you know, she's just, I don't know, preacher, just things have changed. Yeah, things have changed all right. I love, when I get to calling out sin, man, you ought to see some people's faces. I get one or two looks. It's either, or it's, y'all want me to call out another one? Or are we good right there? Are we good? Are we good? Say, if I keep on, I get on yours pretty soon. We were talking about this morning about the sins in our thought life. I'd love to take time and teach that again, because I think it's something that we all missed, all miss. And we're so worried about everybody's outward sins that we don't keep in check our own. And as I told my Sunday school class this morning, my sin isn't an outward sin so much so. I'm not going to go drink. I'm not going to go commit adultery. I'm not going to go do these things. But the Bible is very specific in its teaching. Jesus said that if we think these things, then we've committed them. The Bible says that God looketh on the heart. Man looketh on the outside, but God looks on the heart. The Bible also tells us that Jesus knew the thoughts of their mind, or their intents, by their thoughts. So we know that God's able to look deep down inside of us. God's able to look deep down inside of us. And though we look as though we've got everything under control on the outside, we're in a pit of destruction right here. Oh, don't. Y'all help me right here. You've not committed to act physically, but you have mentally, over and over and over again. So give me an example. Somebody cuts you off. Somebody, is everybody all right? Somebody cuts you off and then shoots you a bird like you the one that done wrong. You got the kids in the car, and so you're not going to teach the kids. Come on now. You make sure you don't teach the kids a bad word, even though you're thinking it. Can I move back in here? I'm going to get back. I notice everybody's sitting like four or five rows back this morning. Y'all scared or something? We didn't say it out loud, but we might as well, because it was. And we were. Because the kids, come on now, how many of y'all's ever had a child before? They see something like that goes on, they'll be shooting birds in Sunday school class and cussing people out. Walking around. Y'all know it to be true. If you've ever had a youngin' before, they hear one cuss word, they won't say nothing at the house. Bless God, you get in front of the preacher and here it comes. Bang. And you, where did you hear that from? Don't ask that child that when you're standing in front of me. Well, mama, you said it. Hey, I love it. I love it. Hey, listen, that's why most of you, when you invite me out to eat, don't have your kids there. I learn a lot about you just by them youngins sitting there. Somebody cut you off. You didn't say nothing. You didn't do anything because you didn't want your children to see it. But it was all right here. Every bit of it. For some of you, it was such a mad, you got so angry about it that you was hoping that the red light would catch them so you could get out of the car, run up there, grab the door, pull the door open, drag them out into the street, and have a viral YouTube moment. Say, I ain't never seen anything like that before. I have. I watched my daddy. I hope he's watching this morning. I watched my daddy, Ted Harrington. Some car come by us and threw a bottle out the window and hit the side of the car. My dad, they pulled up to the stop sign and they quit. They stopped. My dad, y'all want to know where my temper comes from? It's Ted Harrington. He got out of the car at the red light. This was back in the days where they didn't have cameras. Somebody say amen. He got out of the car at the red light and he punched the back window of that car out. They left the red light. Somebody say amen. No insurance company was called on it, praise God. But I promise you they didn't throw nothing else out the window. Somebody, hey, man. I sat in the back and watched it all. My dad's bad, yeah. Dad's a bad man. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that sin leads to our destruction. Let me finish this, and I'll move on to point number two. Because I said all that to say this, and I mentioned this in my Sunday school class. What happens here will eventually come out here. So if we don't learn how to control what's in here, then we'll never control what happens out here. Is everybody with me right here? I need somebody to help me now. My my outward actions ain't what I'm worried about. My outward actions are a direct reflection of my... Right here. What do you say? It's a pit of destruction. And if we're not careful, that's why the Bible says, think on these things. Those whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are whole. Those are the things that you and I need to think on, not... It's, come on now, help me now. Y'all know I'm telling the truth, right? It's a pit of destruction, and if you do not learn to control your thoughts, then before long you'll be out of control with your actions. Hey, take it from me. I'm not preaching this about somebody I heard about.
Right.
I'm preaching this because this is what I battle. The trouble of the sunken. Let me ask you a question this morning. What pit are you in today? What pit are you in today? Are you in the pit of discouragement? Maybe you're a visitor this morning. You're in the pit of distress. Everything in your life seems to be falling apart. Everything in your life seems to be crashing down around you. Or maybe this morning some people get honest with God and say, preacher, my thought life ain't where it needs to be and I'm in the pit of destruction. Preacher, if I ain't saved out of this pit, I'm worried about where it's going to take me. Let's move on. We see the trouble of the sunken. We see the tactics of the sovereign. I notice here in verse number 7, we meet a man that's by the name of Abedmelech. Abedmelech, the Bible says, is an Ethiopian eunuch, and he's there in the prison. And he has compassion on Jeremiah, and he goes to the king. And he tells the king, he says, hey man, we got to get Jeremiah out of there. He's going to die. You can't just put him in there and leave him in there. He's going to die. And he's a good man. He ain't done nothing wrong. This has been done. This evil has been done to him, and we need to get him out of there. And so the king said, all right, I want you to take 30 men and you go get him out. Now see, this is the same king that didn't have the backbone to tell the princes no. But now he tells them, he says, I want you to take 30 men and I want you to go and I want you to get him out. I was looking at this passage of scripture, and I love this. I love to see typology in scripture. We see a king, and we see a messenger. We see a messenger in Abedmelech. We see the king, a sovereign. Zedekiah is his name. But when we look at this thing, I want you to notice that the king instructs somebody to go get the one that's in the pit. Somebody got to stay with me right here, all right? We're getting somewhere with this, okay? And he told him that you take 30 men with you. Now, I love numerology, and I love doing numerology in the Bible. And the number 30 is in direct relation to the blood. When you find Jesus was, or Judas was paid 30 pieces of silver for the blood of Christ. You go on, you'll find out if you go back into the tabernacle, all the pieces you find, you'll find this number 30 and representing blood. As I was looking at this, I couldn't help but think that there was a sovereign, there was a king. His name wasn't Zedekiah, he was the king of all kings. Somebody say amen right there. He sent a messenger. Somebody say amen. And through the blood, that 30 men, them 30 men, we find redemption. As we look at this in scripture, we see typology, the tactics of the sovereign. God has a way of redeeming man and getting them out of a pit. It involves a messenger. Somebody say amen. It involves one who came to where he was at. It involves one that had compassion on where he was. It involves one. Come on now, I need somebody to help me this morning. But he has to take that 30 men or that blood with him. The Bible teaches in Hebrews that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God made a plan. He devised a plan before the foundations of the world that his son, Jesus Christ, would be that messenger for you and I. He would be the one that would have compassion on you and I. And he would come to where we was at, and he would plead for the Father. And the Father would let him, through the blood, redeem those that were in the pit. That's good. I don't care who you are. The tactics of the sovereign. We see the compassion he showed, the command that he sounded, and the characters that he sent. I'm going to be done with that point. I'm going to get to the last one. We're going to get out of here early. We see the tactics of the sovereign. Lastly, we see the tools of salvation. I want you to look with me, if you will. The Bible says in verse number 12, and Abed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said unto Jeremiah, let me move back up because I need to get back up a little bit. Verse number 11. So Abed-Melech took the men with him and went into the house of the king under the treasury and took thence old cast clouts and old rotten rags and let them down by cords into the dungeon to Jeremiah. And Abed-Melech, the Ethiopian, said unto Jeremiah, put now these old cast clouts and rotten rags under thine armholes, under the cords. And Jeremiah did so. So they drew up Jeremiah with cords and took him up out of the dungeon, and Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. I know some things about these rags that were used. Many of us, we read through that passage of scripture and we just roll right over it, but I want us to look at these rags, the tools of salvation. I want you to notice a few characteristics of these rags. They were used. These wasn't brand new rags. They had been around the block. Somebody help me out right here. They had seen wounded before. They had patched up those that were hurting before. This wasn't the first time that they got used. They were used rags. The Bible says that they were old cast clouts and old rotten rags. I look back on my life. I think that you and I are the rags. Somebody say amen. Ain't much to us. We ain't brand new. We've been around the block a few times. Somebody say amen. We've seen our share of heartache, and we've seen our share of injuries and harm, and we've seen our share of people being hurt. We've been used before. We've been, at this point, maybe somebody in here feels like they've been cast aside or put in a place of no longer use, but God has a use for those that are rotten. Somebody say amen right there. God has a use for those that are old and cast clouts, it says. I look back on my life. I look at this church. And as I look at this church, I was talking to some people about preacher boys filling in at a church here not far from us. And anyhow, we're trying to get it all lined up. And our preacher boys, you're going to see them missing here over the next few Sundays as they go and they preach at this church. But as I was talking to the man and we were talking about, have you ever been around somebody that knows everybody? These are these men. And anyhow, I go to mention the names. Huh? I'm talking about just the preachers that I was sending over there. I had one of them, I told him, we'll send Sean Gay over there, and his eyes got big. He turned to the other deacon and he said, is he as bad as so-and-so in our church? I liked it, amen. They got to talking and they said, yeah, he's all, you know, the guy told, he said, yeah, he's worse than him. he said, yeah, he's worse than him. He said, we got a guy in our church, he's tattooed up on his arms. He got tattoos on his arms and everything else. I'm thinking, dude, we got people with full body is that one of them things that we're supposed to be working on? Anyhow, let me just move on from that. But he was talking about it, and I was thinking, man, yeah, the Sean is a lot worse than that. Then I went to Trent Johnson. Yeah, he got saved, yep, sure did. Thank God. Somebody say amen. Got through with him and moved on to Derek Allen. Same response I got out of them. I got thinking about it, man. I love this. Y'all don't know how much I love bragging on this. I preached at a church one time. I think I've shared this with y'all, but I preached a revival one time. And this older lady, she was older, she's probably in her 80s. You know, one of them people that know everything. Anyhow, let me just move on. She was sitting there and she had played the piano for this church for 950 years. She was getting on up in age, around the Methuselah type. And she told me, she said, we were talking about our church and I was talking about our singers and everything else. And they were, they I don't know how to say it other than this. They were raised. They were born and raised and saved and sanctified and everything in the Baptist church. You ever been around that? Everybody been around that? Y'all know them people that ain't never done anything wrong? They like homeschooled? Somebody say amen. I'm just kidding. Don't get mad at me. Anyhow, we was talking about our music programs. I was telling her how wonderful our music was. And boy, they were talking about how great our choir was and they loved to hear the singing on the internet and this, that, and other. They were talking about all of it. And they said, she said, where did you get your music, man? Like, she was wanting to play the piano for us. And like her, you know, family was wanting to be part of our service and all. I said, no. I said, we're good. I said, my piano player is a Church of God. She just come out of the Church of God. She don't even know what she's doing. She just gets up there and plays. I said, my choir director, he ain't nothing but a drunk that got saved. Somebody say amen. We found him. He was singing in a karaoke bar. Somebody help me right here. Y'all want to know why we sang Brad Paisley this morning? That's why. All right? That's what it's all about, Jake. And at that time, Nick, what's his name? Westbrook. Nick Westbrook was playing the bass. I said, man, my bass player, he plays in the bars. He got his own band. They were playing in the bars when he got saved. And I just go through all the people in our church, and we don't have a church full of people that's been raised. Let me move back over here. We ain't a church that's full of people that's been raised in church all their lives. We're a church of folks that's been rotten, for lack of a better word, rotten. Done some things that we're not very proud of back in our old day. But if it's for the glory of God, then we'll very much share it with somebody else and let them know where God brought us from.
Yes, sir.
I noticed these old rags, they were used. I noticed these old rags, not only were they used, but these old rags were united. They had to be united to be let down to where Jeremiah was. And this is the problem I feel like most churches have, is there's no unity in the church. You got this side fighting against this side doesn't like this side doesn't like something that goes on here, this, blah, 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 blah. But the thing is we're not going to lift anybody out of their pit as long as we're fighting amongst one another.
Amen.
See, we gotta get in touch. Y'all come here, y'all got to help me out. And, it's all right. I'm not going to get you because you talk too much. You're just going to get them. Come on, Jake. I love you. What we're going to do is we're going to reach Miss Tracy. And the way we're going to do this is I'm going to start this thing out. I'm going to preach. And then you're going to grab my hand. You're going to reach as far as you can over there. And then you're going to grab your hand. Mm-hmm. Jake, go over there and help Miss Tracy right here. Are we seeing what's happening right here?
Amen.
We have to, listen to me. We all work in a unit. We all have to work together. And the problem is if there's a break in that, all right, break right there. If there's a break in that, she ain't getting reached. Somebody help me right here. We've got to be together. Whatever we got to do, we got to stay. And it ain't easy to stay together. We're different than one another. I mean, we got different size hands up here represented. It's easy sometimes to pull out of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? That means we got to fight to stay together. We got to fight. You watch when I go to pulling, you watch how everybody goes to tightening up and everybody tightens their grip. And we got to fight to stay together. There's enough churches that are breaking up and ain't reaching people. There's enough churches that are getting fighting right now. Y'all ain't going nowhere. There's enough churches that are fighting and not getting anything accomplished in life. We got to stay together. These rags, they were used. They all had testimonies of something that they'd done to help somebody. They were all rotten. But when you put them all together, God can use them to reach somebody. These rags, they were used. These rags, they were united. These rags, I can't miss this one. Y'all hang on right there. I got two more. These rags, they were uncovered. Probably should have done uncovered before I did the united, but they had to be found. They were cast aside. Nobody wanted them. Hey, they were cast aside. Nobody wanted them. Matter of fact, there was probably some churches that didn't want anything to do with them. I remember, y'all just don't know. We talk about how great churches are, but I can remember walking into church and feeling like nobody wanted me. I can remember walking into church and looking on people's faces, and you could tell they didn't want me in there or my kind. It drove me insane. I ain't going to lie to you. It drives me. That's why I don't care nothing. I promise you, I don't care nothing about a suit coming up in here. Get that on Facebook. I don't care nothing about somebody that's grown up in church all their life. I ain't worried about them. They're saved. They've been saved all their life. At least that's what they're trying to convince everybody of. What I'm looking for is somebody that's in the ditch. What I'm looking for is somebody that's in an old cast out pile of dirty rags that nobody else wants. And nobody else thinks that they can do anything, because God can get more glory out of a used rag than he can out of a brand new suit. They have to be uncovered. There's people out there. Do y'all realize that there's people out there that need saving? There's people out there that needs the Lord. And the only way that you and I are going to reach them is to make ourselves available, to be discovered ourselves, and for us to unite. We got to be unified. They were used rags. They were uncovered rags. They were united rags. Lastly, they were utilized. Jeremiah was down in the pit, sunk in the mud. I need a youngin. Come here, son. Right here. Don't be ducking down. Come here. Come here, right here. Do me a favor and get on your knees right there. Can you do that? Sunk down in the pit. Bedmelech, he comes with the blood. He's got the blood, and he knows where he's at. Now we're moving. He's got the blood, and he knows where he's located. He knows where the one in the pit is located. But to get him up out of the pit, he's got to use some old rotten rags. So he tells him, he says, Jeremiah! We're lowering down some help. We're going to lower down some rags, and I want you to put them up under your armholes. Once you get them there, you let us know, and we're going to use the blood. Them 30 men's what pulled him out of that mud. It was the blood that got him out of there. It was just them helping. I like it. Garrett, come here. No. He was in the pit of destruction. Garrett, come here. I need another youngin. Where's another youngin at? Don't make me. Come here. Noah, come here. Come here. Get over there on your knees over there, Noah. Bedmelech took the blood. Pit of destruction. Get on your knees right there, Noah. Right there, buddy. Thank you. Took the blood, got some old rags, lowered them down into the pit, put them under your armhole, and picked him up. Oh, I need somebody else. Come here, Scott. I need somebody that's 65 foot tall. Come here, Brian. You come here and help me right here. I need a youngin. Give me another youngin. Where's another youngin at? I got any boys? There ain't no boys in this thing. Come here, there you go. That's what I'm talking about. Pit of destruction right here. Come right here. Pit of destruction. Bedmelech took the blood. Listen, can't do it without the blood. The cords were there. You understand? The Bible says they lift them up by the cords. Those cords were attached to 30 men. Can't lift them up without the blood. But it takes some old rags to help them along the way. Question this morning is, who are you helping? You over here in a pile, undiscovered? You over here in a pile, not being used, not being utilized? Or are you going to let God, through the Holy Spirit of Bedmelech, bring the blood and help somebody out of their pit? Rags of redemption. That's us. Just old rotten rags. Old cast clouts. And God said, if you'll let me, I'll use you. And I want you to notice something. Because of the... Listen, don't miss this. And I'll be done preaching. They were to help and do so to give comfort. Those rags were placed there because he'd been lowered down into that thing by them cords and he was hurting. We was up there in North Augusta changing out that AC unit. My AC unit's under the house. I'll just be honest with y'all. I ain't been walking around on my knees in a long time. I got up under there, and there's nails up under there. There's concrete and rocks and all this other stuff. We climbed up under that thing for 5 hours. I was all the way around that thing, moving on my hands and knees for 5 hours. I come out of there right now. I couldn't get on my knees and pray right now if I had to. Somebody say amen. They're so sore. Listen to me. Don't miss this. They're so sore. They're hurting. They're in pain. Jeremiah was in that place in pain. He was hurting. Abimelech said, I'm going to send some rags down. I want you to put them where them cords are going to be. And they're going to cushion it. They're going to comfort you so I can raise you out. See, most people think that we got to be stringent and throw the law on them to get them out. But it was Christ who used compassion. Who use love. And mine and your job ain't to tell them what all they done wrong and what got them into that pit. We ain't supposed to spend our time. Say, hey, I'm going to pull you out of that pit. But bless God, you remember you ought to have been in that pit. I don't care. Is everybody all right? Because this is the attitude that most Christians take. Now, you know what kind of person you were. You know how bad you were. You know the mistakes you made. You know you got yourself into that trouble. That ain't my job. Matter of fact, my job ain't even to pull them out. That's the blood's job. He's the only one that can do that. My job is just to comfort, to help. Make it where it doesn't hurt. So how do you do that, Brother Robbie? Who better to talk to somebody than one that's been in the pit themselves? Who better to help somebody than one that's been in the pit themselves? I'm nothing but a rotten rag, an old cast clout. It just desires to be used by God to help lift somebody else in a pit out so that they too might be used of God to reach somebody else. Y'all join hands. Y'all join hands. Man, look at how it grows. Spread them out. Look at how it grows. Them rags will just get united. We can reach from one side of the building. Are we reaching from one side of the building to the other? Boy, that's a lot that can be reached. Let's walk a little bit. We'll stop right there. That's a lot that can be reached if we kept right on walking. Thank y'all. Thank you. Thank you, boys. I'm just an old rotten rag. But in the right hands, rags of redemption. Somebody's coming to the piano, Miss Teresa, if you will, help me out. Dalton's not here. He's on vacation. KK's on vacation. Zachary's on vacation. I'd love to be on vacation. Thank you, Miss Teresa. Somebody in here, your past got you discarded. You're sitting in a pile over here, and some preacher and some Sunday school teacher, some church that tells you you have to wear a suit and a tie and a long dress has told you that you're no good to anybody. They've thrown you over there to the side, never to be used again, because you're filthy, you're dirty. There's evidences of past wounds. There's evidences of past filth. They don't want to use you, but there's a God. Somebody help me right here. There's a God that wants to use you if you'll let Him. So here's what we're going to do. I wonder how many of you, old rags, just rotten rags, old cast clouts, make their way down to an altar this morning. Thank God that He still likes to use old rotten rags. Hey, maybe tonight, maybe today, you're in here and you were one of them that was in the pit. And you remember well them old rotten rags that God sent your way. You remember how they comforted you and helped pull you out of that pit. You remember how they loved you when nobody else would love you. You remember how they were kind and affectionate towards you with compassion for where you were. Rags of redemption sent your way. I wonder if there'd be somebody in here be honest with this preacher this morning and say, "Preacher, I'm in a pit. Preacher, I'm in a pit and I need somebody to lift me out. Preacher, I've been trying to get out of this pit and I can't get out of it on my own." Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. I want you to be honest with me. You might be in a pit of destruction this morning. A pit of despair, a pit of discouragement, a pit of distress. People looking up at me already. Y'all, let's pray for our friends. Man, we're going to have to unite. We're going to have to help them. We're going to have to get unified. We're going to have to join hands. We're going to have to get a tight grip. We're going to have to help some people out of their pits. I wonder if somebody in here in a pit of destruction, you say, "Preacher, I'm not saved. I'm in a pit. I'm spiraling out of control, preacher. I'm in the muck and the mire. And preacher, if I was to die today, I do not know where I'd spend eternity." If that's you, I want you to look right my, just look up at me. I ain't asking you to do anything else, but be honest with me. "Preacher, I'm in a pit and I'm on the way down. I'm not saved. Preacher, I'm not sure of my salvation. I don't know where I'd spend eternity." I want you to look right up at me. Is there anybody to be honest with me this morning? If I'm not seeing you and you're looking at me and I ain't seeing you and ain't nodded at you, I want you to raise your hand up. Say, "Preacher, it's me. I'm in that pit of destruction. I'm going down. Preacher, I need help." Is there anybody like that this morning? All right. Let's do this. Let's pray for our church, because there were several people that looked up at me and said, "Preacher, I'm in a pit. Preacher, I'm going through a hard time. Preacher, I'm in a pit of discouragement. I'm in a pit of distress. I'm in a pit of despair." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. God, thank you so much, Lord, for your many blessings. God, you've been good to us, far better to us, Lord, we've been to you. God, tonight or today, Lord, we come to you. Just old rotten rags. Some in different circumstances than others. But all needing help. God, I pray you take our church and unify it. Lord, bring us closer together for the purpose of lifting others out of the pits. God, I thank you that you still use an old rag. God, thank you that there's still use for an old rotten rag. God, I pray this morning, Lord, that out of my life and out of the life of the people here at Calvary Baptist Church, that you get all honor and glory. Lord, that person that's in that pit of discouragement, God, I pray right now, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will move in, Lord, where we can only help. God, I pray that you'll move in and fix. God, I pray that you'd encourage them this morning. Lord, that one that's in the pit of distress, God, I pray, God, that you would give them faith, Lord. Lord, though they may not be able to see, God, though they may not be able to see the future, God, let them trust in you, your sovereignty, your provisions for their life. God, for that one that's in the sin of destruction or the pit of destruction, Lord, that sin seems to be wrapping their hands around and, Lord, getting a tighter grip on, Lord, I pray, Lord, you convict them of their sin. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, they confess it, remove it, repent of it. God, help us not to be judgmental, but God, help us as Christians, as old rotten rags, Lord, to put our arms under theirs, Lord, and lift them up, comfort them, help them in their time of need. Lord, we'll be sure to thank you for it. Lord, we're sure to give you honor and glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.